Okay, good. The sermon that I want to share with you, church, is called How to Get Into Your Anointing. Again, I'm going to go back to my normal format. I like to do it. I'm fulfilled with these kind of things. I'm pleased with them. I love to teach. I like to preach for these sermons. I like to help people. I really like to help people. When a person hears something, and after this, he got into his calling. He became somebody. He saw something. He finally understood something in his life that he didn't understand before. And today is going to be another sermon that's going to help each one of you to get closer, or at least to understand what it means to receive your anointing. What does it mean to get into my calling? You know, sometimes we see the anointing of somebody else and we want his anointing. But you know, every one of you has your own. You just need to find it. Every one of you have your own individual. When I was running around making cheap copies of some pastors and trying to talk like them and do what they say, and then I said, no, that's not what the point. The point is to become yourself. We so became alike that we start looking like other people, talking to people, and we look like, our words look like him, and we dress like that person, and we think like so-and-so thinks, and we become like some kind of a collection of somebody else's thoughts, movements, and actions, and losing our own selves. But the whole point of life depends upon walk away from everything and find yourself in this world. Find yourself. If God created me uniquely, then there's something in me that nobody else has in this world. Amen? If God created you unique, then don't even think to look like anybody else. There's something inside you so unique that only you have and no one else has. So that's why this devil lies to us. He's throughout the whole life, he's even living in the Soviet Union. Those who are born here, I'm happy for you. You skipped out on a lot of problems. And we grew up and they always try to make us the same uniforms. They want us to not to stick out of the crowd, not to be different. And we're the people who are like, we were like Pentecostal Baptists, and they always got us in trouble, and we always got in trouble, and they spit on us and hit us, and you were like a white crow. And I pray, do not stop being a white crow, please. If we had to carry this on ourselves back then, and the communists would push us out to the front in front of everybody, and they wouldn't accept you into these pioneer things, and you said, I don't need this tie for 300 years, and people would not accept you because you still had to. Everybody, they had. And they always try to make us all the same. Please, do not stop being individuals. My dream is for everyone. Let you be like some kind of a individual that no. That's not all. That's not like everybody else. But quit wearing a mask inside you. You're not the same. You're dreaming inside of you of something that's your own. You want to reach something, but around you, obstacles and situations aren't allowing you to do that. So I'll talk to you about how to get into your anointing. We wish to find our place and our calling. That's the whole point. Right away, I'll tell you, some people, they understood what is anointing. Anointing is what makes something that's not good looking, that makes you look good, and takes your minuses and turns them into pluses. Anointing is like when you can't speak normally, and it makes you speak better, and you look at things different, yet you're an anointing. And we all grown up, and we understand that anointing is needed for everyone. But I want to ask you a question. Why do you need it? Did you find what God is going to anoint? He doesn't just anoint an empty spot. He doesn't anoint something that's misunderstood. It was this, and now this is anointed. No. He anoints individualities and added characters. Anointing is what that tool that you can do this with, this work with. But what kind of a work did God call you to do? Did you find something that attracted you? Not some neighbor, but when you seen it, you heard about it, and it attracted you. What's making you move after God? What's making you love Him and follow Him? We were sitting yesterday, and the Holy Spirit was interesting. After we were done, we finished talking, and I was in the car, and the Lord told me in a couple of moments, He said, we're sitting with guys from Spokane, and we're just socializing at the table, talking about some plans or whatever. I had a wonderful time. And now I had to write something. Remember that? And I said, I need to write something down. I got to write something down. You know that? I couldn't even blink to look at in front of me, there's a paper and a pen. If you didn't receive this revelation, then I don't even know what you're doing here. As soon as I didn't even start writing nothing. First, I had the wish. I said, I need to write something right now. I couldn't even blink, and there was a paper and a pen in front of me. That's what it means to be anointed. Anointing is what gives you a way to fulfill the will. But the pen did not appear before I wanted to write some. Sometimes we chase after something that we see, but we don't understand as to why God anoints that. God anoints what's already inside you. He's moving with those who want to go somewhere. I want to ask you a question. Where are you going? Where are you going? Are you going anywhere? Are you dreaming of anything? God, give me a breakthrough in life. For what do you need it? Why? Okay, you broke through. You broke through. Now what? Yeah, I'm flooding over here. That's okay. Yeah, you broke through. Okay, now what? You broke through. I'm broken through. I'm pulled out. Breakthrough is needed for something. We need to do everything because we need it. We need to do everything because it's needed right now. We got to do everything that is mandatory, that's needed. Okay, and first, there's going to be a couple parts that I want to talk about. And the first one that I want to talk about is you got to figure out what it is that's attracting you. When the emotions go away, a lot of times we want to find out, what is this? A lot of times we want to find out where it's coming from. And we understand that. Not knowing why I'm existing on this earth, not knowing what's pulling me, it's dumb to dream and to move, and it takes something. I know, it's more interesting over there, huh? I understand. Yeah, let's look. Oh, wow. Oh, he cleaned it up, huh? Thank you. Let's give him a pause. I understand, it's more interesting over there. We'll continue in a minute. Thank you. Thank you. I see church's attention is going somewhere. That's okay. I know it's really interesting to see how water gets wiped off. Somebody might have even received a revelation. First church. First, you gotta figure out what it is that's pulling you. Not emotionally, but when a year goes by, 2 years, and then 5 years, what continues to attract you? Do you understand me, church? What is attracting you? That's the step number one to your calling. And that calling that God's going to anoint. He doesn't anoint an empty spot. and a pen did not show up on a with a paper. First, there was a calling to write some, and then for some weird reason, I don't know where it came from, but the paper appeared in my hand and a pen in my hand, and I did what I needed to do. Right away, I want to tell you, church, that's the most important step. When you're going to be moving, thinking, how come I don't have nothing? That's because you still didn't understand what's attracting you. Are you attracted to music, verses, poetry? What is it? Or singing, or sermons, evangelism? What's pulling you? In what sphere do you know that God's going to anoint you? Because where you find what's your own, God gives you such an original anointing that it's impossible to be stolen or to be substituted or anything else. It's yours. It's given to you for you. When emotions go away, do you know for sure that this is what you want in your heart, something you want to do? Because, my beloved ones, there's going to be tests. There's going to be tests, and I want to tell you. Let's start reading a couple spots from the Bible. And we're going to open up 1 of Kings. 1 Kings. I want everybody to concentrate, understand. Sometimes we get distracted, but try to be here. Chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. So chapter 3, 1 Kings. Chapter 3, verse 19. Oh, it's chapter 19. Anointing does not come into your life just like that. Anointing does not just, God doesn't just anoint to anoint. And we're all anointed. What are you talking about? What is this charismatic teaching? We all want to be anointed. No. There's such a little amount of anointed people that you can hardly find any of them, because anointing makes such a hit, not just some little bit over here. Oh, anointing makes a hit into the nation. It makes a hit in the lives of thousands of people. Anointing, when God anoints you on something, it's impossible to hide it. You hear me? It's impossible. No matter. It's impossible to hide. They say the city that's on top of that mountain, it's the light that shines. It's that anointing. My beloved ones, that's one of my favorite sermons. I really like to talk about this because here I feel my calling. Let's read it. Chapter 19, verse 19. We're reading about Elijah. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. They were looking for disciples back then. They had schools of prophets and people who were dedicated to the school, dedicated to serving God. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." Go back, Elijah replied, "what I have done to you." So let him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. For example, you're living your life, and you're ready to give away everything. Somebody throws a cloak on you. It's not yours. It's not yours yet. They throw a cloak on you. It'll become yours within years. But this cloak attracted you. I want you to understand today. I believe I'm not just preaching like, okay, cloak, I'll go home and eat some chicken. Or, my beloved ones, I believe that somebody, at least one person will understand, will read something. I dream, but I hope there's going to be more. I believe there's going to be more. And you know, what is it that attracted you? There was a cloak that I've seen, and it took over my life so much. It's not mine. But I've seen where I'll be. And you'll say, how can I start moving? Did you see your cloak? It's not yours yet, but did you see it? What are you ready to give away for this cloak? They just threw the cloak at you, and they took it away. It's not yours. It'll become yours way later. And now you get into the process that I want to take you into. What happens after you got fired up until you standing in this cloak? Do you want it? Yeah. I really like this. Say, Yeah. That means it's going to be really, really cool today. And we're moving today with you. Right away, I want to tell you, did you encounter something that attracts you? What makes you, like when you see it and when you hear it, it gives you shivers on your skin? What is this? Is there shivers on your back when somebody's singing or somebody's preaching or somebody's prophesying? What will make you say, oh, I want it? That's something I need, something that's attracting me. And every time, you already forgot. And within a year, you saw this cloak again. And again, it brings you into the. It gives you shivers on your back. And then again, you get into that. To the same sermons that's pulling you in. What it's pulling you. And you find something that's pulling you. Do not miss out on this moment. That is where you have to start serving. He didn't take the cloak and say, yes, I'm a prophet in the name of Jesus Christ. No. What did he say? He burned all his bridges and started serving who? The one whose cloak in the process he was to receive. There was a law. You cannot jump in right away. You hear me? And everyone who jumps in right away, that's number one failure. Yeah, you saw what's attracting you, but you made a mistake. You jumped in ahead of time. The cloak was on you for 1 minute. Not for you to be dressed in it, but just for you to feel it. Feel where you're going to be in a period of time. That's where people make mistakes. That's where people lose. He understood that he was in this cloak. Imagine, it was already on the shoulders of Elisha. That means Elisha already said something. That means he felt it went through him. He felt it. He said, whoa, this is what it means to have this cloak on me. You already testified to somebody, and God's already did so much. And those who you testified to didn't even feel as good as you did, because it's your cloak that you did something that changed you. And right here, there's the first step, what's attracting you, what continues to attract you. Pay real serious attention to this. It's so funny. We'll open up 2 Kings. And many years went by, we went from We're not going to have enough time. We're going to the moment where there's going to be a test. Then they had, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elijah replied. You know, Elisha knew exactly what he wanted. He didn't even have to think about what he wanted right away. He knew what he wanted, and he asked so much. You know, at that moment, in the whole Israel, there was no more anointed person than Elisha. And you know what Elisha said? He said, "I want double the portion." Ooh. You'll say, "Oh, wow, look how bold he is to ask something like that." Amen. If you ask, you ask. If you're going to ask, "Oh, give me a little bit over here." Oh, yeah, that's what you're going to get. I feel sorry for those kind of Christians. They're always on the edge. Always on the, by the door, you know. They always want to be by the door in heaven. By the doorstep. Sister Valentina, here's your little place by the doormat. Okay, we're not going to get distracted here. And if you see, I'm going to be taken from you. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took the hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak and had fallen from Elijah, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Anyways, the second moment. You guys all understood the first one? Find what's attracting you, what's pulling you. If you don't know what's attracting you, you're not going to get nowhere, because there's nothing to write about. There's no goal, there's no movement, there's no source. You know, we only save money only when there's something to save up for, right? I can't save money if I don't have nothing to save money for. I'll just get in there and spend it. Anybody here like that? Oh, three people? Okay. Somebody's holding me up. And that's how it is. You know, we can only save up and collect if there's a goal. Only then we can do it. There's no goal, then we're just existing. First, second, see what is written. When God was taking Elijah, they were walking from Gilgal, and he said, "Stay here." He said, stay in Gilgal. You know what Gilgal was called? It was called a circle. It's your society. It's your everything you've seen, everything you felt, everything you went through, all your friends, all your relationships, your mom and dad, everybody's there. Your birthdays, your weddings, your hangouts, everything. Everything's here. Gilgal. He said, "Stay in Gilgal. My beloved ones, you're going to go through a test." Some people didn't want to be here because they wanted to stay in Gilgal. They couldn't leave their inside they had some fire that to receive something, but my circle is more important to me. There's people who all never leave. But what if this circle is my wife? But what if someone loves his wife over me? Well, it so happens that God has bigger priorities. Who loves the husband, the kids more than me does not deserve me. You exchanged God for your circle. You exchanged God from Gilgal, and you're proud of it. We're going to be crying for tons of people who stayed in Gilgal. They don't want to go anywhere. That's their circle. That's their life. That's their swamp that they live in. It's wonderful there. The temperature is mine. I was born and I was raised there. I'm pleased and I'm fulfilled with my Gilgal. Stay here, Elisha. He said, no. You know that you're going to have to leave Gilgal. You're going to have to leave Gilgal. Whether you want it or not, you're going to have to leave Gilgal. Today I'm going to tell you interesting things. And Elijah said to Elisha, you're all going to go through all these things. But Elijah said, I will not leave. What's attracting you? Because of what are you going to leave your circle and your warm spot, your little warm nest, your friends, your little name that nobody knows and doesn't want to know? Ooh, I don't want to lose my little... I don't want to lose my name and become like you. You think I lost it or I inherited it? In whose eyes did I lose my name? In somebody's eyes, I got it. Let's weigh out the priorities here. Give the glory to Him. I lost the priorities in the eyes of my circle that I wasn't even planning on staying. Amen, church? I lost my name there. You're a stinky person. Oh, you're filthy. Or you're a proud person, and that's your circle. Nobody can tell you this, church. The only people that I can tell you this, I don't know you. And some people come to you, the pastor, everybody left me. I said, good, let's count who's everybody. Mommy, brother, at work, and a friend. And one hand he counted. You believe that there's more people on earth than five people? I said, not everybody left you, don't lie. I'm telling them, church. Five people is... everybody dished me. Well, what about 50 people? Get out of your Gilgal, church. Ditch all these societies, and we don't believe in you. They'll never believe you, not even if you become anointed. They will never acknowledge you. Your circle will never acknowledge you. Run from there. Amen. Are you receiving some, church? At least a little bit? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you're going to leave here receiving something. Relationships, everything that's seen, everything you're known for. You got to stop walking with the scene, not what I see. Learn to walk in faith. Learn to walk in a dream. And again, I say, you will never leave Gilgal if you didn't go through number one. You didn't smell your cloak until you finally smelt it. Until you put it on and feel it. There it is. That's how it is. And then they took it from you. You're like, oh, Elisha, I don't want to give it back. You know, you receive it later. I can only leave my Gilgal when I finally understood where my cloak was. I left this. Because of what? Because of this. Because I knew where my cloak was. I knew. Got to know where it is, what's pulling me. And because of this, I was able to leave. Gilgal? What are you talking about? Bye-bye, Gilgal. You guys don't love me? I don't know what I should do to make you love me. And the bigger I become, the more popular I become, the more they hate me. And I say, nobody even knows you. Church, you understand me? Gilgal, leave Gilgal, your friends and relationships, and that's mine. I'll never leave it. Leave it. You never felt because of what you're going to leave it. And when you saw this calling, what's attracting you, what's pulling you, because of this, you're leaving it. Gilgal. Let's keep moving. You came out of the scene and you came into. And Elijah said, stay here. You know that these things, they're translated as emotions, feelings, and things you live through. You know where a lot of spiritual people seeking spiritual, not fruit, but anointing, to fall around, to get filled. In this one place that they're talking about, in chapter 19, the prophets. They left Gilgal. Now I went to the house of God. Interesting place, a house of God, spirituals and everybody swimming and seeking emotions. If the emotions don't come and feelings don't come, then depression comes, and that's childish. Some people, as soon as, I'm not going to leave this place. How? How can I go there? What's vision got to do with this? I want to be with the Lord. You know that category who don't care. They just want to be with God at all times. Don't go. They don't want to go nowhere. My house is in heaven. Closer to you, our Lord. Yep. My beloved ones. We don't do nothing there. We're not saving the world. We're not preaching the gospel. We're just hanging out. We just feel good. We're just waiting for the rapture of Christ. And we sing songs. Anybody who's in this place, say amen. I'm listening. You got to listen carefully, because you might. There's a place of feelings. Oh, la, la, la. We get filled. We're feeling so good. We have a spiritual, like a drug addict. They're getting drugged over there, and these people are doing the same thing. That's a place where some denominations are stuck into. They're locked in. They said, we're not going to allow you in. A place of emotions. But you should not stay there. They go through this place, but they don't stay there. I know where they stay, where a Christian must live. It's a place where they walk through. God touched me, and now I know that He's alive. I live through Him. But I'm going to keep walking. I'm not going to stay in that place where people are just... Have you heard Christians like saying, oh, I don't feel God today. Oh, today I'm feeling Him. Huh? Are you a believer, or you're just a person of feeling that feels things? These aren't believers. A believer lives by faith no matter what. He doesn't care what's said, what's felt. He's moved by faith. That's why it's called believer. And these are feelers. If they don't feel nothing, they feel bad. God left. Where did He go? He's probably mad. That's it. Oh, what happened, Lord? What is God nervous? I'll leave. I'll come back. And some people in their head, they have a God like that. Lord, yesterday we were so good. Where'd you go? Well, what'd I do? Huh? get out of there. Live with faith. God is on my side at all times. He gave birth to me and died for me. And He will never, never leave me. No matter what I do, He loved me back when I was in garbage. A junkie. It's easier to understand this way. He loves me when I was bought out, redeemed. And even when I slipped up, He did not leave anywhere. And He didn't even think about leaving anywhere. But in this place where we feel like, oh, if we don't feel something, there's no contact. Let's keep moving. Time is... They said, did you know that in Gilgal there was no prophets? Listen very carefully. In the other place, there was prophets. Everybody's prophesying. I come to this sermon, I don't know what's going to happen. And God's going to say something. Whoa, whoa. You don't think I've been there? You go to prayer, you don't even know what's going to happen to you. When God's going to say something, get out of there. God is love. Don't look at anything. He loves you unconditionally. He judged and condemned the devil, not... Jericho, good place, but... He said, yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. Then the Lord... And they had the company in Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elijah and asked him. There's other spheres of... There's spheres. They have spiritual spheres. There's people. This place, Jericho, is translated as a place of sacrifice. Interesting. Jericho is translated as a place of sacrifice. Place of where they give offerings, you know, that's where you'll be tested whether you're going to pay everything for your dream. Beloved ones, I know what it's like. Even when you get out of your Bethel, you leave your feelings, your Gilgal, and you come into this place of Jericho, and then God will say to you, do you really want this? What you're dreaming about? Yes, Lord. And that's when the price is going to start. A place of sacrifice, of offerings. A place of offerings. What is this? That means this is where something has to die. You can't receive your cloak until something in your life dies. You understand me, church? Only the bad will die. Everything good will stay. If you're crying, oh yeah, yeah, it's gonna be painful. But I guarantee you, everything needed will stay. I've been there, and I know what it's like. Sometimes get back into it. Again, it's a good place. Jericho is a good place. That's where you're tested. Remember the rich. The rich young guy who talked to Jesus, and Jesus told him, will you be able to walk through Jericho? In other words, he said, sell everything you own and give it to the poor. And then, he said, only then you can follow me. We said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that someone had to sell everything to buy it. Or... like a treasure that is in a field, where the guy had to buy the field just to get it. Are you ready to give everything for your cloak? Are you ready to pay and give to God, give to Jesus everything to go through all this? Have you noticed that there's another crowd of people who walk around to sacrifice their whole life and they cannot pay their whole price? You know what's the most in Gilgal, you understand, that's Christianity, that's not even, no God, that's just your people, and people just hanging out. It's pretty flesh type. Everything's done by the flesh. But when you get into Bethel, that's where the movement starts. There's God and there's prophets. They have the whole theory, the whole denominations are built on Bethel. I don't want to get into details. Everything is built upon feelings. Feelings. What are you feeling? What are you feeling? Like a radio. We're feeling one thing. I feel one thing. The world is dying, and I want to save it. I want to raise up a big army to save the world. The bigger the army, the more salvation is going to be. We got to be like an army. We got to do it. And here in Bethel, there's people, there's prophets. And same thing here. Some kind of movement, some kind of life, something's moving over there. And when you get there, the worst type of Christianity, the ones that got to Jericho, there's Jesus and there's my flesh, there's his calling. And these people are, that's who feel bad after encounter, because here he knows what kind of price he's got to pay to follow Christ. You thought encounter, this is just a place to hang out and feel good? Oh no. The price. You run into the price. You run into the vision with the goal in life, and here, oh Lord. And just like the young rich guy who left even in worse condition than when he did meet with Jesus. People who their whole life, there's one step. There's the price. Pay everything and you'll be there. You're already here. You already went through all these other things. You went from everything. You came up to the price. Everybody has their own price. Trust me, everyone has their own price. I'm not calling price. This isn't money, but maybe it is. It could be house, it could be relationships, it could be anything. It's a price, it's Jericho, it's a place of sacrifice. What are you ready to give, to receive? If you never give, you will never give anything unless what you want to get is worth more than what you're giving. Jericho. We're moving forward. My time's coming to the end. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elijah and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing a place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at Jordan. "I don't want to stand at a distance. I don't want to stand in a crowd that didn't pay the price to stand in front of the Jordan. I'm going to pay as much as I got to pay. And going to pass it all on to you for you to..." These aren't just fairy tales. These stories, this is our life. This is showing the price that we want and we have to pay. This shows how to reach things. Yeah, this is all like in a story, written like a story, like a parable, but only the Holy Spirit can open this up to you. Jordan. What does Jordan mean? Jordan is a place of miracle. You know, Jordan had the biggest moments happen when God's people crossed Jordan. Jordan would spread apart. The biggest moments of Israel and the Jews would happen at the Jordan River. It's a most powerful place. It's a place of serious geographic place. Jesus Christ was baptized there. Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, was baptized there. And then we come to Jordan, this place of miracle. When you come to Him, that's where you have to live. That's when you need your cloak. You think you need anointing back in Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho? No. Until you're in these three positions, my beloved ones, anointing will never work in your life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not needed. That's why it's not given. It's only given to those who the Jordan River has to open up in front of. And I have my Jordan, you have yours. My Jordan is saving my nation. You hear me? That's why I need my anointing. I don't need anointing to be in a glory of God. I don't need it to pay the price. I don't need anointing to be in Gilgal. Well, there's society and everything's fine there, friends. I need anointing right here. Jordan, a place of miracle. A place where without anointing you will not be able to cross it. All the other spots we went through, everything was fine. Anointing was not needed. You didn't need some supernatural miracle. You didn't need this supernatural motor that is given to those who need the Jordan River to open up in front of. Again, let's get back. When I needed to write something, the paper and a pen appeared in front of me. My beloved ones, that is when you need anointing. I'll tell you. I live by the Jordan, a place of miracles. That's my life. That's my. Let me walk back and forth and hit at the Jordan River with the cloak my whole life. But that's the place. Your whole life, you've been watching how somebody's doing it, but now you have a full right because you went through and paid the whole price. Now no one's going to stop you, and nobody's going to move you from your place. Never. This is where you have legally, you have my own cloak. And Elijah left. The cloak fell. In order for me to return without anointing, yeah, you came across with someone you loved. But now you have to give back. He's not next to you anymore. Now, if it's not you, then nothing's going to happen in your life. Now, if you can't rely on a prophet, of an evangelist, or a teacher, or a pastor, you got to rely on you and what you went through and the anointing that God's given you. That's where, church, you need anointing. If you need it in Bethel, you're not going to receive it. In Gilgal, you won't receive it. In Jericho, you won't receive it. Only by the Jordan, your cloak is given. In a place of miracle, God can legally give you the right to create miracles. And I'll tell you, my beloved ones, I am fulfilled and pleased to live by the Jordan. Some people say, he said, it won't open up. I said, it will open up. I said, it will open up. I say, those who hate, who don't love, who are jealous and who curse, watch real carefully after us. Real carefully. Keep watching. Because I know, I dream. I know where I'm going. I just want to give you a chance for you to also to connect like one family, like one army, and say, we are going, we're moving. Every one of you will receive their own cloak by their Jordan River, and you'll see how wonderful it is to live where nothing but a miracle that you have to back you up. I'm standing here, and I'm totally on a base. If we don't have miracles, there's not going to be no radio, no TV. We're going to have nothing. We're just going to be walking on water. That's what it means to walk on water, not just to run over a lake. it is to walk on something that's not supposed to hold you, because you're carrying your cloak. Everybody get something for themselves. Give the glory to God. Let's stand up. Father, I thank you. That your church took something in for themselves. I believe, my favorite. Lord, you taught and you spoke to our hearts. I know that there's a lot to say, but it's hard to fit it all into 1 hour. I thank you, my dear Jesus, that you teach us. Help the people here not to stay in Gilgal or Jericho or Bethel, to leave feelings, to leave their society because of the goal. And to come to their Jordan. And come up to their miracle. That nobody will do it except me. Let people criticize, but I will see my miracle. I dream of my miracle. I move in my miracle. And I will see my generation saved. I will see youth, thousands, hundreds of thousands, giving their lives to God. That's our Jordan. That's our miracle, and we'll see it. We thank you, Jesus, that you're our Lord. And you gave us faith. That's why we're all called believers. We will see salvation. We will see restoration. We'll see clarity. We'll see the movement of God that's never happened in our nation. We dream. Yeah, we're dreaming of something that's never happened, but isn't that what God wants us to dream about? He wants us to dream about what hasn't happened yet, where nobody's ever walked, where the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard. We want this because our God is possible to do all things. I thank you for everything. Bless this church, Father. Bless the relationships. Heal everything. Restore everything. Let there be love, happiness, and peace. Let there be patience, respect, and love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.